I'm a grateful believer and follower of Jesus, who is in recovery for drugs and alcohol, codependency, and unhealthy sexual desires. And my name is Chad. So I want to start out and saying that I'm glad everyone here is here tonight. Thank you for inviting me to this meeting to help me with my recovery. And for just by inviting me here, you've helped me stay in recovery for another 24 hours. So thank you. We are forever family here, and I hope that something I say tonight... I need to find a spot for this, sorry. Let's see. Hope that something I say tonight will resonate with you and give you hope, because God uses even the most broken and sinful people for his purposes to bring glory to himself and good to us. He will finish the work that he started in us if we work with him to do so. So my past is littered with all kinds of hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and hopefully you understand some of the challenges and see how God is working through them, even to this day. This road that I'm on called recovery is one of ups, downs, and all arounds, but I wouldn't change it for anything. My life before recovery was one of repeated insanity. Little did I know that it started back for me in childhood. I grew up in a broken household, one of addiction, codependency, and anger. When I was 1 year old, my family and I, my dad, mom, brother, and half-sister, moved from Umatilla, Oregon to Moses Lake, Washington. It's about a two-hour drive north to our next destination to live as a family, at least for a little while. We lived together for about 6 years until I was seven. Then dad and mom divorced, shattering and breaking our family apart. I remember the fight like it was yesterday, dad yelling and wanting to take us boys, while mom was to take my sister and move out of town, back to Hermiston, Oregon, to live with my grandma Barbara. I remember thinking that this was all my fault, personalizing my parents' addictions and divorce in a very unhealthy way. This is where my people-pleasing and codependent rescue behavior started to form. I would do and say anything to keep the peace, even at the harm of myself. I would spend the next years leading up to high school back and forth for holidays and summers. I could live two lives. It was great. I would do anything to fit in and feel acceptance. The importance of being the same person all the time really stood out to me in early recovery. Maintaining personal integrity was very important to me. We moved from house to house for the next few years with my dad, never really staying in one spot for too long, until we landed out in the country on 7 acres of land. We even lived out of our station wagon for a while at one point, as my dad tried to make ends meet. This is where I picked up my tendency to drift and bounce from place to place, never really having a desire to settle and slow down. Fast forward to my teenage years, and watching dad drink and use gave me the inspiration to try it out also, finding his stash in the armoire when I was spying on him through a cracked bedroom door. I was 10 when I first smoked marijuana, instantly falling in love with this drug that made me feel like I was in a video game and that I was invincible. This started my downward spiral into drug use, creating an idol out of weed and its effects on me. I started selling it a couple years later, and this became a new identity for me. I was finally noticed and important. I later realized I was filling the lack of emotional love and support I so desperately longed for with the wrong people, places, and things, resulting in an always empty feeling, no matter how hard I tried or how much weed I sold. My brother and I were left to our own devices, getting ourselves off to school each day, chores, and helping take care of the farm. With too much freedom and no one around to watch me, I started to rebel for attention. My dad was a bread route driver, and being a single parent, we would go to work with him to stores after school to finish up his day at work sometimes. With not enough money for things I wanted and needed that I would ask my dad for, I started stealing to get what I wanted, getting high off the excitement and the thrill of boosting. Chasing the thrills and excitement of crime and disobedience led me to getting expelled in school 2 times in middle school and once in high school, back to back to back first semesters of 7th, 8th, and 9th grades. You would think I've learned my lesson the first time, but my insane obsessive mindset had already set in. I was caught selling weed at school, smoking weed at school, and then drinking at school. This rebellious attitude started to form because my dad would only pay attention to me for my athletic ability and my performance. So if I did good in sports, I would get his attention. Also, my stepmom came into the picture around this time, and soon we had 2 little boys also pop into the picture as well, my stepbrother Hunter and half-brother Harold Jr. So out of spite, I realized that if I got expelled, I couldn't play sports, which would ultimately hurt my dad and the ego he was building around my identity in sports. How could he brag to everyone about me if I was acting out in this way? I was given this gift of adaptability when I was little to be pretty good at almost anything I tried, picking up things quickly and getting noticed. This attitude and ego led to my numerous avenues of different drug use I would soon experiment with, which I continued in the years leading up to getting in recovery. I would soon be on the road to using prescription pain pills, namely Oxycontin, to get loaded. This was when that epidemic in 2008 started going on with the opioid epidemic. But I didn't stop there. I've almost done every drug during these confusing and rebellious years, even trying the same drugs in different ways, which led to smoking and shooting up all kinds of things. After these three expulsions, I could no longer stay in Grant County, Washington for school, so I moved to Umatilla with my mom to try high school out there. Another school, another identity. I didn't realize I was losing who I was by trying to be what I thought others wanted me to be. The people-pleasing and the desire to fit in ruled my life. My mom was living with my stepdad, and there seemed to be no rules or restrictions on my behavior. With all the freedom and no one to be upset at my rebellion, I started to fall into drinking regularly and cheating in school to get the grades I needed to play sports. My porn addiction was also silently formed prior to moving in isolation, having already been exposed to my dad's nude magazines and VHS tapes for much of my childhood years. Anyone remember VHS tapes? Cool, I'm in the right place. These secrets and desires for thrills would keep me imprisoned and would lead to much trouble in the next years of my life. Like I said, I'm cheating my way through high school and graduating, and I got together with a warm-hearted girl named Corinne who had a debilitating disease called cystic fibrosis. My codependency found another person to latch onto and take care of. I was also able to slip into this rescue role again. Anything to avoid what I was going through emotionally. We were together for a couple years, and she ended up dying when I was a junior in high school. Not knowing how to grieve or want to feel the feelings of sadness and loss, I started drinking and sleeping around with almost anyone that would get in bed with me to try and handle the pain. The years after high school until I was almost 30 were extremely insane and destructive to not only myself, but to my family and those around me. I like to look at it and call it the comfortable chaos years, the years where I was so comfortable with watching my world burn down time after time, yet too prideful to admit that I had a problem and needed help. I had become comfortable with chaos. I continued to run from place to place, relationship to relationship, and drug to drug. I didn't care whether it was Washington or California, man or woman, booze, meth, or any other concoction of drugs I could get my hands on. I didn't know that the pain I was feeling, I was just trying to numb. I thought that everyone else had a problem, not me. During these years, I was hospitalized for alcohol withdrawal while I was homeless in San Francisco. I ended up in the mental hospital for almost a week from staying up for 10 days on meth, and even jumped a motorcycle under the influence, which led to a broken collarbone and ankle on the opposite sides of my body. I was literally hobbling around with one crutch. It was horrible. And I thought, at this time, me, an alcoholic? No way. My denial ran really deep. I frequented sex parties of the same sex and was given in to the evil desires inside that were fighting to replace my identity with the false one. I was always chasing the next high, the next bit of excitement, and the next hustle. Little did I know that my intravenous drug use that I was introduced to would lead me to one of the most earth-shattering, life-altering phone calls I would ever receive. My risky, unsafe drug use practice led me to getting HIV. I was in a destructive and confusing relationship at the time. This call happened on my way to work one day, and it was a nurse letting me know they had found HIV in my blood test a couple weeks previously. The unsafe needle drug use with the wrong people led me to consequences I would live with for the rest of my life, and a bitterness and rage that would consume me. The thoughts that went through my head were ones of doom and despair. My life was over. I was a dead man. There goes having a family and kids. This was definitely a death sentence, or so I thought. Little did I know that this whole time the grace of God was chasing me down, even during all this pain and suffering, just waiting me to respond to his amazing, powerful, redeeming love. This was one of the darkest times of my life. I had definitely hit rock bottom. I was living the biggest lie, pretending to be something I was not in this relationship. I was drinking before, during, and after work, and shooting meth regularly. Even then, there was a ray of hope and light at the end of the tunnel. Little did I know at that time that the light was Jesus and that he was calling to me. If I would only answer, he would help me. How could I have a family now, I thought? What would my family think? How will I handle the stigma around HIV being a confused, lost, and desperate person with no identity? Well, about 6 months later, God showed up in a huge way through the medical field and the advancements of HIV-related medication. Hope was sparked. I started this medication regimen as soon as I could since we caught it early. I would have a good chance of what they call undetectable. This wasn't a death sentence anymore. There was hope. This would mean that I would get to take a pill every day for the rest of my life, but not transmit this to anyone else, even through bodily fluids and sex. The fear that gripped me started to fade as I learned more. Undetectable means that the levels of my blood are not traceable, just not completely gone. At this dark time in my life is when I came to Christ and accepted him into my heart. I was so lost in fear, sin, and shame, though. How could I get out of this? I could not see how life was even something I wanted to live for. I started cutting myself at this time to ease the pain and emotions I was going through. I even attempted suicide as well, intentionally loading up a syringe with way too much heroin. I don't remember exactly what day it was, but it was sometime between in 2016 when Jesus came to my rescue. I had lost my mom who was only 49 at the age of 20 in 2010. This sparked a lot of anger towards God, thinking, what kind of God would allow this to happen to me, taking someone as young as my mom was? Then in 2016, 6 years later, I lost my dad unexpectedly as well. He was only 57 and had a stroke in his neck, which cut off his brain function. This was a result from a long life of smoking, drinking, and working way too much and using drugs. Shortly after he passed, I had a vision and was shown God's power, love, and grace. It felt like God put the whole world on pause that night and was ministering only to me. I saw an angelic being, tall, light blue, and holding a staff in the corner of my room that night, while my partner and dog slept through the whole thing as if they weren't even there. It appeared to me after thoughts of questioning God and his position as the creator of the universe, which I would not recommend doing. I thought, there really is no God, is there? Right then, he sent his spirit to minister to me and comfort me. I'd never really read the Bible before this vision, especially the Old Testament. And that night I would be walked through scripture, the Ten Commandments to be exact, and would be reciting them word for word repeatedly. The power I felt that night while trying to look the angelic being in the face was like the strike of lightning in my entire body. I would hide my face from fear and awe of this power, yet there was a peace and gentleness through it all. In reflecting back on this vision, I know that the Holy Spirit was bringing me to believe in Christ by revealing God's word to me and showing me what he was really like. Showing me that he was not like the false beliefs that I believed from the lies I told myself to survive. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ." I was shown what it feels like to be separated from God, and that feeling of silence and aloneness is one I never have to feel again. Then suddenly something clicked in my mind. I fell to my knees, realizing that God was using his word to show me Jesus was the only way to have a new life and that he loved me, but I had to be the one to choose. I was given a choice that night to accept his son or be separated forever, and I gladly, thankfully, and willfully chose Jesus that night. I had started to submit to God that night and his plan for me. The peace that followed was one that I recognize today as his presence, not a peace of the world, but one from his Holy Spirit within me, the peace that surpasses my understanding. This peace wouldn't last because even though I had a newfound faith and friend, I still had the people, places, and things in my life and no tools, skills, or healthy people to start recovering. I also had this desire to steal, hustle, and my multiple substance addictions were still at full force within me. I quit my job, packed my car 2 weeks later, and headed back to live in my old stomping grounds in Moses Lake and Hermiston. This was not one of the better choices I ever made, but it was all too familiar, which was what I was used to. From 27 years old to 30, I racked up charge after charge, committing all kinds of crimes, ranging from identity theft, burglary, and UUMV. Unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, if you don't know what that means. I actually fell asleep in the car in front of a Rite Aid, and a cop knocked on the window. I was like, hey, you're going to jail. I had acquired quite a criminal resume with half my charges being felonies. I was in the newspaper and on Facebook, flagged by people warning them of my behavior and to be on the lookout for me. Walmart became one of those stores I got banned from for life. And I still go there, actually, and nobody says anything. But I'm trying to make that amends still. I'm like working through on how to make that living amends with Walmart. So it's kind of this tension I'm still in. I barely escaped from so many things thanks to God's gracious hand with me and spent my longest string of time, 70 days in Umatilla County Jail in Pendleton, Oregon. Another glimpse of God's grace, and it was starting to shine into my dark heart. I started to notice his hand on my life, even during the chaos of life. He had never let me go. It was me who had forgotten his hand was always there and believed he was something he wasn't. Right after picking up my last charge and starting these 70 days in Umatilla County Jail, Pendleton, Oregon, another crazy thing happened in the world. Anyone remember? 2020 and the pandemic COVID hit and was in full force. Complete lockdown time. Little did I know that while I was locked up on 5-10 of 2020, which is kind of interesting, 5-10-20, I would receive my first Bible, the Life Recovery Bible, and start finally being honest with God, myself, and someone else. I had come to the first principle, admitting that I am not God, that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and that my life is unmanageable. While in jail, I met with the jail counselor and was honest with him. I told him that when I get released, I'm just going to go right to the dope house and do the same thing, and I didn't want that to happen this time. I had come to the end of my rope, and it was time to trust and let go. It wasn't until I cried out for help and let go of my pride that I was able to receive help, with honesty and humility paving the way. He helped me apply for treatment, and the only door that was open was a one-year inpatient treatment program at the Portland Rescue Mission called New Life Program at the Harbor, 3 hours away from home in Portland, Oregon. I took the step of faith and started to trust God and others, allowing complete strangers from the Portland Rescue Mission to come pick me up straight from jail and drive me to treatment. What a relief. My hope started to spark inside, and I started to see that there was a chance for me to have a new life. Wherever you are in your recovery, hang in there. With hard work, healthy people, and of course God in our lives, we can flip the script and write a new story along with God and others. This program was faith-based, with Christ being the center of it, and I came to realize that this was the biggest piece missing in my life and my heart. A personal relationship with God through faith in His Son, Jesus, empowered by His Holy Spirit. With many trials and learning lessons all through the pandemic, I was able to graduate this amazing program. The pandemic was weird for a lot of people, but for me, it was just what I needed to slow down and take a good look inside and let the love of God in to change me from the inside out. I got a sponsor, started working the steps, and found a CR home group at As Is Church. I have one of my friends, Israel, right there from As Is Leadership, too. Thanks for being here, Israel. I really got a lot out of the fourth and fifth step, taking my inventory and sharing it with someone else. Seeing the love and patience my sponsor showed me through this time gave me the courage to continue my recovery and let go of the past. Took us about 3 to 4 months to do my fourth step. We just did little by little, a couple hours at a time. Forgiveness became real as I started to forgive and even pray for those who'd hurt me. Taking ownership for my part also helped me not blame others, but move forward in the forgiveness process. I really found a home at CR, and the people that are now my faith family are so important to me. They accept me just as I am, help me feel loved and belonged, and like I belong, and want to share their lives with me, not expecting anything back in return. I never knew the love of God, let alone the love of God through other people. I just want to say prayer is powerful, and when we don't think God is listening, He is. I casually was talking with God one day in the program, the Harbor, saying, you know what, it'd be kind of cool to work here someday. Lo and behold, soon after graduating the program, I came back to work at the Portland Rescue Mission. I would start being of service and helping other men find their way through the storms of life, walking with them at a pace they can sustain, and sharing the hope of my story of transformation through the gospel in my life. I was able to start giving what I had been given. Recovery is possible with a surrendered heart to Jesus, allowing others to help, and consistency. If I can recover, truly anybody can. You may think, well, you haven't been through what I've been through. And you're right, I haven't. But I will say this, Jesus knows everything that you've been through, are going through, and will go through. And He's waiting for you to invite Him into your life to help. My life is so much different today. I'm over 5 years clean and sober. I've gone from being isolated and alone to thriving and in a community, from running from the cops to running ultra marathons. I have a new identity in the family of God as His beloved child, wonderfully and fearfully made. I can love and be loved. I can listen to understand and wait to be understood. I do my best to live a life of integrity and honesty since most of my past is stained with falsehood and lying. One example of how God is working this out in my life is shown in Ephesians 4:25, and 28 through 29. It says, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. this verse really came alive for me when I was in treatment, because that's exactly what I was doing, and then this was the way out for me, was to do exactly what this verse said. From stealing and selfishness to giving and giving generously. From rolling in stolen cars, riding dirty, to owning a car and having valid insurance. Whoop, whoop. Bouncing from place to place to finally slowing down and staying planted. From self-will run riot to a surrendered will open for divine interruptions, no matter how small and tedious they may seem. From a people pleaser to a God pleaser. From fear to being brave. And most importantly, from trusting myself to trusting God. I also want to share that this walk with God I'm on requires I get to know God through His Word and studying His Word, applying it to my life each day and sharing it with others. It is hard to put into words the forgiveness and grace that I've experienced through my relationship with Christ. It's like a breath of fresh air, like I can run and not grow weary. We say in our faith family that we are helping each other follow Jesus as a healthy family in every area of life. This is happening right before my eyes, and things are looking up each day. My life is vastly different today than it was just a few years ago. And also with those charges, I've gotten all of them expunged off my record, so that's a good thing too. There's like 14 of them, yeah. As I close, I want to share some examples of the work of grace and love in my life through my new life in Christ. Healing. I was able to gain so much healing going through the Genesis process and 12 steps while in treatment. I learned how to look at the past from God's perspective and to offer forgiveness to those who'd hurt me and accept forgiveness for wrongs I have done to others. I was shown how false beliefs drive many of the compulsive and addictive behaviors I experienced and the power of God's absolute truth in His Word that sets me free. John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." When I went back to be on staff where I went to treatment at Portland Rescue Mission, I got the opportunity to train and become a level 1 Genesis coach. I'm working on my associate's degree at Portland Bible College. I have just completed 2 weeks ago my CADC 1 training and am now a certified drug and alcohol counselor in the state of Oregon. I have a faith family, a work family, and a forever family that walks with me through the ups and downs of life. Not to burst anyone's bubble, but just because I'm in recovery doesn't mean things are all rainbows and unicorns. I go through times of discouragement and depression. I got married and divorced while in recovery. And God has used all these mistakes to teach me the meaning behind them and to give me encouragement as I pursue a life of purity and reconciliation. I finally have the tools, people, and faith to stay in recovery without relapsing through these challenges. I was offered a sponsorship and earned my CrossFit Level 1 certificate, which I get to use to serve youth with the Youth Underground in Rockwood, where our church is at. It's called the Hope Center, and we do CrossFit coaching and mentorship with them. I get to serve and volunteer with our faith family as His church, serving in different ministries and capacities there. We also went through an intentional discipleship class called Exchange, which I am now certified to train others as well. I went through the CR step study and was asked to lead one, which I wasn't able to do, but that's all right. Maybe later. God is using me in ways I never would imagine, and the result is a lasting joy. When I mentioned the ultra marathons, I never would have thought I would look forward to actually running over 30 miles, but I do. God has helped me do a few half marathons using my running to also coach men that have a desire to complete their first one through a training program called Up and Running Again. I'm also training with Israel too for his first ultra marathon as well. So kind of rubs off on people, I've noticed. When I got my first job out of treatment, they looked at my charges and said, "Wow, this guy's ambitious. 14 charges." This was at Blanche House of Hospitality. Imagine if he harnessed all that energy in committing crime and used it for good. Romans 8:28 reminds me that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. I feel like I've been doing just that, allowing God to take what the enemy meant for evil and turning it around for good, to use my story for His glory. I'm so very thankful that those charges got sealed and expunged from my record due to the Senate Bill 819 passed on January 1st, 2022, which would seal charges from your record, even felonies. Oh, the relief and the weight that was being lifted from my past. There is always hope. As I read through all that is being done in my life and through my life, the most amazing gift is my growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Sorry. If it were not for my Celebrate Recovery family, sorry, the Holy Spirit and God's Word, I wouldn't be in recovery or even alive for that matter. I would still be separated from God and from others. I know that the night I gave my life to Christ, there was also the presence of the enemy in my soul in that room. I was shown through that vision that my sin and shame wasn't going to keep me chained up anymore, that Jesus was breaking the chains, that sin and death had been arrested, and that my new life had begun. There is now a purpose for my pain and freedom from shame. The blood of the cross has me covered. God continues to show up in my life in so many ways, and I look forward to seeing how he will use me next. For the newcomer, keep coming back. Suit up and show up for your own recovery. You don't have to get cleaned up to come to Jesus, just come as you are. He is calling and waiting, longing to save and redeem what has been taken from us. You have a forever family here at Celebrate Recovery, and I hope something I've said tonight will inspire you and give you strength and hope. Thank you for letting me share.